And of course, we'd play cowboys and Indians, and sometimes we'd fight who's going to be the cowboy because the cowboys were portrayed as superior in these movies. Anyway, we're after one movie one evening, and I remember it was sort of just about getting dark. And we're going home, and I said to them, "Hey, you guys, you take the horses up there and run this way with them, and I'll run and jump on just like those guys in the movies." So they went back, and they're coming, running the horses towards me. And I was in a little embankment, and they were going to be running by. So they ran, and I timed it, and I jumped. And I jumped right over the horse. And I landed on the other side, and I'm rolling on the ground. Oh, I hear them, whoa, and they stop, and they come back. "You okay, Jerry, you okay?" And I sat up, and I was laughing. And we're all having a good laugh because I missed a horse, you know. You know, it was so cool when I think about it, that we could all do that. Another laughter tale of mine was that, because I started thinking about these events when I started forming this podcast. I started sweat lodging, you know, and after 4 years, I started to share the ceremony I have with people that want to come. And I would build sweat lodges, and I got this job away from my community, so I had to move. And first thing, of course, is I find a place to build a sweat lodge. And I found this place up by this, away from houses, and like we would say countryside, you know, and there's a beautiful stream there, with nice pools so we can bathe in there between rounds. You know, it was ideal. It was perfect. So I built a lodge there, and I would start sweat lodging, and, you know, on a regular. Usually early in the morning I'd be up there, or sometimes after work it'd be evening. And that time, too, I joined a powwow drum group. Oh, we'd sit and burn medicine and drum. Oh, it was good. One of the drummers says, "Hey, Jerry, can I come to your sweat lodge?" I said, "Oh, sure, sure." So he started coming with me, so I started calling him Nephew. "Yeah, Nephew, come on. Help me cut wood, you know, make the fire, you know, and you'll learn." So we'd go up there and have our sweat. One time we went up and we made the fire, and it got to evening, got started getting dark. But while we were going there, we're driving, I have to drive through this community, this reservation to get there. And this guy stopped us. He says, "You guys going up to your sweat lodge?" I says, "Yeah." So I said, "Oh, you guys be careful. I seen a grizzly bear up there." "Oh, okay, thank you." So we went up and parked my car behind the sweat lodge. And so we started the fire, and we had camp chairs. We're sitting on them in front of my van. You know, putting wood on the fire, you know, keeping it going, getting the grandparents nice and hot, and sitting there, you know, talking about, you know, drumming, singing, culture, all of that beautiful stuff. You could see the stars. It's a beautiful night. And we're sitting there, and across the stream, like it was dark, you can't see anything over there. And we hear the, we both jumped up and ran and jumped in the van. And I turned on the lights of my car, and it shone across a stream. And there's this great big bull, range bull with big horns. You know, we looked at each other and we're laughing. So we got out and went and sat on our chairs again. And my nephew looks at me. He says, "Hey, Uncle, I wouldn't have run if you didn't run." I mean, I wouldn't have ran. The only reason I ran is because you ran, he was telling me. And I said, "No, nephew." And we had a good laugh. You know, and another laughter tale is when we were doing activism in 1990. And four communities were involved, you know, and we're supporting people in Ganasatagi. Called it the Oka Crisis. And we're also making noise about our land title, our land question. They called it the theft of our territory and the resources. I remember that time, you know, and we started to do that. It was such an empowering feeling. We walked different. We talked different. We became ourselves in our camp where we're blockading the railroad. Of course, we're doing something, you know, that got people angry. You know, that it is an inconvenience. But if we believed what we were doing, and we'd have circles on the railroad track. We'd put our chairs in a circle on the railroad track and have our sharing circles. You know, talk about what we're going to do during the day, you know, what's going on. We got injunctions from the RCMP. The railroad got them to give us injunctions that we're not supposed to be there. And we talk about food and security, you know, and our blockade. There's no one could have alcohol or drugs or weapons, you know. So we were, our elders really guided us well on how to be respectful in our activism. We'd have hand drum circles, you know. Oh, it was wonderful in that sense of work together. And we're sitting in circle, and one of the members had gone up into the mountains above the railroad track. And he came back and he said, "Hey, you guys, there's RCMP snipers up in the trees." And another one says, "Yeah, I heard that someone's saying that we got arms. So they're worried that we got arms." And one of our laughter healers was sitting there, and he starts moaning and pretending to cry, and he says, "I can't take it anymore. I can't take it. Please stop. Please make it stop." And he's talking like that, and he looks and he smiles, and we all start laughing. Then he puts up his arms like Hercules, making big muscles, and he says, "I got arms. I got arms." So we all put up our arms in the same way, and he said, "We got arms," and we're laughing. It is an example of where humor and laughter breaks tension. And we are all right. Because it was stressful seeing RCMP all around. You know, but that humor kept us grounded, kept us good. Yeah. We had good laughs, good music, a feeling of togetherness, of being one heart, one mind, one spirit at that time. And laughter was a good medicine for us, not to be too serious, but to be committed, to remain standing for what we believed. It was, when I look back on it, it was a powerful moment. As part of my healing. We still, where I'm from, we still don't have what I call justice in regards to territory, because territory means, you know, a boundary of not like an acre, you know, but mountains and rivers and lakes. That area we occupied as Statlium people and used. We didn't have fences or anything, but there's mountains for medicine, mountains for, you know, for food, for the fishing game and the grouse that we hunted there. And we took care of it. We had controlled burns, you know, so there would always be a lot of berries in our berry patches. The deer would have food to eat. And the moose. So we took care of the land. And we end up on these small reservations. You know, and that is what we were blockading the railroad for. I can count on both hands how many actions we have taken. You know, I must remind myself that my grandparents, if they'd done anything like that, they would go to jail for 6 months. They would be fined. That they were told that they could not do their ceremonies anymore. Even hunting and fishing changed for them. So I remember that, and I remember their sense of humor that they maintained even through that. I would hear some of my elders, they'd stand up and when we gathered, and there was always the laughter healer there would stand up and tell a story or tell a joke or something, and we'd all be laughing, healing ourselves and healing each other. You know, and an example of us laughing at the predicament we're in, because we're, you know, there's a word, hegemony. It means somebody comes in and puts a different system, tells you how to live. You have band elections, you know, you got an Indian Act, you know, you got all of these things you have to do. Taking away our traditional governance systems and everything, this Indian Act come in, it's done some good things, but there's a lot of stuff that should happen that doesn't happen. And oh, I said my podcasts aren't going to be political, so that's all I'm going to say. So anyway, we were doing this laughter medicine once about this. I was visiting a community in northern BC. And the people that hired me were ceremonial people and, you know, they're traditionalists. So we gathered after the workshop day was over. They invited me to their house for supper. So I won't have to eat hotel food. Oh, I appreciated it. So we'd hand drum. I have a hand drum circle. Singing songs after supper. You know, just socializing. Ah, it was good. And then the guy that hired me, he says, yeah, he says, Uncle, there's a band election here. And oh, people are stressed out. I says, oh, yeah, he says, sometimes, you know, new chief and council comes in, all the staff change, you know, or things change, so people are sort of uptight. I says, oh. I said, nephew, you should run to be chief. And he looks at me, and I said, yeah. I understand now they have campaign managers. He says, nephew, I said, nephew, I'll be your campaign manager. He looks at me, you know, and I could feel the laughter medicine starting to build up here. So I said, yeah, we'll make posters, we'll get pictures of you and photocopy them and hand them out. And I said, you have to have a platform. Tell them what you're going to do. So we're starting to give them ideas what to say to get elected. And I said, yeah, nephew, make sure you tell them when you do your speech. Tell them that you guys don't ever have to worry about paying taxes anymore. And we all cracked up laughing because we know Indigenous people don't pay taxes on the res. And people would keep adding to this narrative around banned election. And just one of them says, yeah, I'll be your band manager. And it's his first cousin. He says, yeah. And somebody says, he doesn't know how to manage. Oh, it doesn't matter, it's my cousin. He says, you know, so we kept building up this narrative and we're all laughing. And he's going to get somebody to be his accountant. Somebody says, he's never finished school. Oh, it doesn't matter. The only thing he's going to do is write checks for us. And we laugh, you know, it was... it was one of those sessions where I had tears in my eyes from laughing at how seriously, over seriously, we take banned elections. You know, our laughter healers were born with the gift of bringing laughter and amusing the people. Unifying the people. They have been and are the bringers of joy. They bring joy. I can just visualize the ones I've seen, and every community has them. They're born that way. They don't have to try. It's natural. They just do it. They're such a wonderful gift. I lift my hands to those laughter doctors and encourage all of you to have a good laugh and to share the gift of smiles and laughters during this time of COVID. And acknowledge those laughter doctors. Thank you once again to the ones that brought joy through laughter to me. The time that my shoulders shook and had tears in my eyes and my belly shook from laughing, the shaking was dispelling the negativity from my mind and from my muscles. You know, and it was that's being Indigenous. That's Indigenous. You know, it's such a wonderful gift, laughter and joy. You know, my dad would bring laughter to us. My mom, they would say things, you know, an example of my mother's, I guess you could say, sense of humor, or how witty she was. My brother come home, and his friend's wife had a baby. And my brother said, yeah, my friend's wife had a baby. And my mother says, my late mother says, oh, what's that baby's name? And my brother says, it's up in the air yet. And my mother puts her, you know, sort of holds her chin, you know, how when you're thinking, you sort of hold your chin with your thumb and your finger there and sort of scratch. She says, I wonder how I can say that in a language. Saying that the baby's name is up in the air yet. I was so blessed to spend time with elders and teachers that shared the gift of laughter and humor. You know, we'd be in ceremony and it'd be called for a certain serious event, having a sweat lodge. We'd be sitting in there, and the leader at some point may say something that gets us to laugh or smile. An example of one time, we were in the lodge, and the man, a beautiful man, sitting behind the bucket, they call it, you know, saying the words, doing the music, putting the medicine out so we can all share it. So we're in there, and they're bringing in new grandparents or and he's sprinkling medicine on there, and there was thunder. So he's sitting there, and his eyes are closed. Looks like he's meditating, and he's sprinkling medicine and thunder. And he's sitting there, and we're watching. And he says, "What's that?" And he's sitting there, and then it thunders again. "Oh, okay, Creator, yeah, I got it for sure," you know. And we all started laughing. And the Creator was talking to him through the thunder. You know, there's this other elder that actually talked to us about laughter and humor as medicine. And as a child, he said he seen people doing the laughing song. So that was during I call it the revival, when all of a sudden we started picking up the hand drums again and growing our hair and doing ceremony. And we're hungry for it. And we said, teach us to us. "Uncle, come on." He says, no. He says, "I'm not a song catcher." He says, you see me, I don't have a drum. I don't lead songs. "Well, do your best, Uncle. Come on, we want to learn that song. We'll share it with the people." And he says, sort of puts his head down. He says, "I guess so." Right away, somebody hands him a drum. And he picks it up, and he's serious, and he starts hitting the drum. And we're all waiting. And we're watching, and he's got his eyes closed. Then he starts, he goes, and we all started laughing with him, and we knew the laughing song. Yes, it's beautiful being indigenous. So let's go home to be indigenous. In the way we think with generosity, we think of peace, we think of helping others, we think of sharing laughter, sharing food, helping those without. You know, let's go back to those indigenous ways of being, having that sense of humor, and not taking ourselves too seriously. You know, there's that saying that this too shall pass. And I know this COVID's going to pass. But we need to be patient with it. You know, and I've even seen and heard laughter doctors around COVID, indigenous ones. And I sure appreciated them at this time. You know, and these are interactions I have with other indigenous people over Zoom or telephone. And I get have a chance to smile and to laugh. And I really appreciate that because, you know, we say this is tough, and it is. It's frightening. It is. I was so frightened my relatives would get it and be taken away from me. You know, and so we all took care of ourselves, and let's continue to take care of ourselves, and this too shall pass. Where we can sit in circle again and appreciate the laughter doctors that are sitting with us, that bring joy to our lives and cement us together, tie us together to become one. And oppression won't matter to us. Racism won't matter to us because we know who we are and what we are, and we understand who we are and where we come from. So let's continue on. And let's, as often as we can, share the medicine of laughter and humor. Thank you.
So I wear the best dance.